You talk about how that idea of home is different now and has changed over the last nearly 20 years since 9/11. What would you say were the main ways that it has changed?
Well, I think one thing that is perhaps for me one of the most important ways in which it's changed is that I think these kind of traditional understandings of home being rooted in whether it's national identities or geographic identities or even physical spaces, physical structures. This, I think, has fundamentally shifted now because people have had to actually create a concept, an idea of home that's more internal, because particularly with all of this migration that's having to happen and people having to move as a result of conflict since 9/11, home is something that is more of a mobile concept now as opposed to something that is linked to a particular place. And I think what's happening is people who are struggling with that idea, particularly on this side, the kind of recipients of the refugee movement, struggle with this idea of mobile concepts of home. And that's why I think it's starting to create so many polemics within politics and within people's ability to be welcoming to others, because they feel like this traditional idea of home is being threatened somehow by the arrival of people from other countries.
And you talk about that mass movement of people displaced by conflict. Now, if you go back to the 1980s, to the 1990s, there are cases, for example, with refugees coming out of Rwanda or coming out of Somalia, where particularly countries in Europe viewed it as a badge of honor that they were accepting of refugees from these conflicts. And the countries that had almost no immigrant populations, like Finland, say, were taking thousands of people from these conflicts. I suppose one of the things that's changed now is that there is, in the politics of most Western European countries, certainly, and in the US too, a real reluctance to admit refugees from conflicts in which those countries often play an active role.
Well, I think that's probably the fundamental issue. I mean, I know having grown up in the U.S. all through the 80s, there was essentially an open door policy for Afghans who were immigrating into the U.S. But this was largely because that human flow was not necessarily or not considered to be due to the U.S.'s actions, but rather those of the former Soviet Union. And so it was a way for the U.S. to engage in its Cold War geopolitics by saying, yes, you can come, we welcome you. I think one of the big differences now, there's a couple of things, but the primary one being is that now a lot of this human flow is actually a result of our country's actions.
Segment 1.
You talk about how that idea of home is different now and has changed over the last nearly 20 years since 9/11. What would you say were the main ways that it has changed?
Well, I think one thing that is perhaps for me one of the most important ways in which it's changed is that I think these kind of traditional understandings of home being rooted in whether it's national identities or geographic identities or even physical spaces, physical structures. This, I think, has fundamentally shifted now because people have had to actually create a concept, an idea of home that's more internal.
Segment 2.
Because particularly with all of this migration that's having to happen and people having to move as a result of conflict since 9/11, home is something that is more of a mobile concept now as opposed to something that is linked to a particular place. And I think what's happening is people who are struggling with that idea, particularly on this side, the kind of recipients of the refugee movement, struggle with this idea of mobile concepts of home. And that's why I think it's starting to create so many polemics within politics and within people's ability to be welcoming to others, because they feel like this traditional idea of home is being threatened somehow by the arrival of people from other countries.
Segment 3.
Now, you talk about that mass movement of people displaced by conflict. Now, if you go back to the 1980s, to the 1990s, there are cases, for example, with refugees coming out of Rwanda or coming out of Somalia, where particularly countries in Europe viewed it as a badge of honor that they were accepting of refugees from these conflicts. And the countries that had almost no immigrant populations, like Finland, say, were taking thousands of people from these conflicts. I suppose one of the things that's changed now is that there is, in the politics of most Western European countries, certainly, and in the US too, a real reluctance to admit refugees from conflicts in which those countries often play an active role.
Segment 4.
Well, I think that's probably the fundamental issue. I mean, I know, having grown up in the U.S. all through the 80s, there was essentially an open door policy for Afghans who were immigrating into the U.S. But this was largely because that human flow was not necessarily, or not considered to be, due to the U.S.'s actions, but rather those of the former Soviet Union. And so it was a way for the U.S. to engage in its Cold War geopolitics by saying, yes, you can come, we welcome you. I think one of the big differences now, there's a couple of things, but the primary one being is that now a lot of this human flow is actually a result of our country's actions.